This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Fam. Hey fam, welcome to Hey Fam, the podcast where me, Levins, and him, Angus, talk at length about some hot topics.
The things we love.
The things we love. They include comics, they include movies,
video TV games,
shows, video games.
And everything in between.
Minions.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a separate podcast. I think we're going to have the first official adults-only Minions podcast by
Minions,
the end of this
Minions
week.
Minions After Dark.
Yeah. And we're going to make Minions out of it. We're joined for the first time. We've opened up the HeyFam studios to the public.
Yeah,
and
we added a third seat. We blew our budget monumentally, but we were like, hey, it's the first month. We want to go out with a bang.
It was the end of financial year. We were 1 month too soon, but we're just getting ready for next year's financial year.
Yeah. You've got to be in it to win it from the get-go.
And that's something Entourage taught us. And speaking of Entourage...
I mean, I like to think of you, Angus, as... You're the Vince.
I'm not the Vince. I'm not young. I don't have an older... I like to think of me as more the... I'm kind of like the Ari. I'm kind of like the behind the scenes. The talent's elsewhere, you know?
Okay, well... I mean, I just want to be Turtle.
No, actually, I'm obsessed with shoes. I am kind of Turtle.
I want to be Turtle.
Well, no, you can be Turtle.
We can both be Turtle.
You've opened a sandwich shop, so you've already beaten me to that part of Turtle's career trajectory. I'm just obsessed with sneakers, but let's agree to disagree and introduce who I think is the Vince.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
The true Vince.
We have the real Vince of Hey Fam. Our first Entourage member, our first guest, Jen.
This is the Hey Fam Entourage. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you.
Does it just friends call you Jen, or can is it the full name?
The general public
Genevieve.
Oh, whatever you prefer.
We've given Dren.
Thank you for saying I'm the Vince.
Oh, you're the Vince.
Nice.
It's not really. Vince is kind of the worst fucking character, but.
Well, because he's just nothing, I guess. He just is a conduit for everyone else to live their dreams.
Oh, it's true.
If anyone hasn't picked on the movie we're talking about Minions, the movie.
Speaking of Minions, watch it this week. We've given Jen the holy remote, which
only
Levins and myself have had control of. And
because we've been the only people.
We've been the only people in this room. We kick out all the other people who have been lining up to get in.
There's seven other people you live
with. It's like Sun Studios. We've had to kick out potential Elvises. Just be like, no, you don't have your say. But Jen is putting on her favorite Entourage episode of choice. And it's hard. It's like being asked your favorite Beatles album. It's like being asked your favorite Stanley Kubrick movie.
It's Sophie's choice for our generation.
It is.
It really is.
I mean,
here we go. Yes.
First Class Jerk. We're going for a season 5, it looks, right now.
Risky.
Yes.
We've only recorded Hey Fam episodes while watching
season 1.
We're
doing it sequential. So this is great. We need this.
Oh, right. Are you sure you want to?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Go straight in there.
Guaranteed.
I'm tossing up between where Turtle meets Meadow Soprano.
You did say you wanted a Meadow Soprano themed episode. Because I don't think they get themier than this.
Well, because I just think Turtle's one of the better characters, right? So I just want to see him have a win.
He's got the most depth.
Or do you want to see when Vince does a B-grade firefighter film?
With the Werner Herzog character.
With the Werner Herzog character. Yeah. I think, look, let's do Meadow. You want a Meadow?
Yeah, I want a Meadow.
And the thing is, it's only a 23-minute long episode. We're going to be here for at least 3 hours. We're
going to
see.
Yeah. Now, do you think Meadow signed a huge contract at the start of The Sopranos? It's like, you will star in. It was kind of like every spin-off, like when you have to play yourself, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, why is she still appearing in HBO shows as Meadow Soprano? I think she had a shit agent. I don't think she had an Ari Gold behind her.
She had a... who's the fill-in for Ari Gold when they get a new agent?
Oh.
I don't know, but I do know that he played George Costanza
on
Seinfeld. Oh, yeah. Sorry,
the girl that Genevieve fucks.
Yeah, the girl that you fuck, and you shouldn't have because it ruined everything. Yeah, I know.
Worst season ever, Jen.
I'm sorry, everyone. It was season 8, right? No.
No, I think it was like earlier on.
Hey Fam is more than just about Entourage. We're about talking about things we actually like.
Yeah.
The theory is we watch Entourage to bring to fuel our hate, and so that takes up all of our hate nodules in our brain, and then we only talk about things that we like.
This could be a new religion in a couple of like decades.
Entourageism.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? First 3 seasons pretty dang good. I gotta say that.
Of Entourage? Yeah.
You're gonna go out on a limb.
Big fan. I remember you and I had an altercation once, but it was like we were like, oh, I love Entourage. And I was like, I don't really like it. I don't know, it was kinda like,
I don't think I've ever said I love Entourage.
Well, no, the tattoo that you've got on your back says like completely otherwise on the phone.
That you're Entourage fan number one.
Yeah, no, but it's hard, like, I don't know. There was a time and a place for me, and I don't know. I try to make it in Hollywood. It's not like that. No, I haven't. But
a lot of dudes I know.
Thanks for clarifying.
Spoiler alert. I haven't made it in Hollywood yet.
A lot of dudes I know kind of have said the same thing about Entourage, that it was a time and a place for them in their lives.
Yeah, I think it's because we also got like, it was on DVD and you had to buy them season by season. It was like a very different way of procuring.
It was definitely the first show that I ever binge watched.
Yeah, like, you had to as well.
Two, you'd 3 seasons at once.
Of course.
But then I really remember the moment where I was like, what the fuck am I watching? I hate this show so much. And then it just became.
So we just saw opening scene. It said produced by Doug Ellen. And Doug Ellen happens to be also the mastermind behind a show, which I'm taking on as kind of my own curse for everybody else ballers. So
it's the Hey Fam curse. Every episode begins with a review of the latest episode of Ballers.
I crammed it in. Jen happened to catch the last 10 minutes.
I did catch a bit of it.
Oh wow!
I think just from watching it, she caught more than 10 minutes of Ballers. And
show with the same producers as Entourage, and where Entourage got 8 seasons in a movie.
Ballers already got greenlit for season 2. Someone posted
it
out.
I was going to say it got.
About bloody time.
One season and a nothing.
No, it got greenlit today. Wow. Someone posted on the Hey Fam wall. It said, oh yeah, and Baller season 2. Yeah, it's official. So I learned, and I've got 3 points. That if you're in a bar, if you're in a sports marketing seminar, if you want to prove that you know what Ballers is like.
If you're just hanging out with the guys. And
hanging out with The Rock.
If you just want to really impress the guys.
So I've learned this episode that The Rock's character's name is Spencer. It took a while to get there.
He's not just playing himself.
He's not playing himself. And that, for me, kind of removed me from the situation. But
I finally learned the names of like at least two characters in True Detective season 2.
This is a learning curve for you. Yeah, yeah. This is good. I'm glad.
Del Velcro.
So close. We also learned, I learned that I think the show is made for 4 people, being like, at least with Entourage, it was kind of like, everyone wants to see what the Hollywood glamorous lifestyle is. These guys are literally like pen pushers for people who make, they're like, it is so far removed from the front and center action, i.e. the sports games. You don't see what that's like. You just see the guys behind the scenes managing the money. And I think it's like, it's made for like guys in their 40s who have gotten this job. I don't know. It's so, the Entourage appeal is so, it's super obvious. It's, let's see
Hollywood
dicks these days. And then like, this is literally like, let's see all of the weird, awkward, boring. I mean, if you thought True Detective season 2 was like contract based and slow moving, I guarantee you watch Ballers. There must be something in their stipulation this year. It's like, let's talk about contracts a lot, because there's no one dead in this, so that's the only difference. And the Rock shirts kept getting tighter. The third point
don't just skim over the Rock shirts getting tighter.
See, that's
what I want to hear more of.
Oh yeah, and
skimmed over it again.
I actually didn't watch the last 10 minutes, but I summed it up with this. We all say goodbye to Don Draper this year. You know, a suave man who managed
also,
very important careers. Also played by The Rock. But this year, 2015, also gave birth to Spencer Baller. And I think that's what we'll all remember.
Wait, is his last name Baller?
It's not, but okay. I did sit us. I need to remember which character Spencer was. Sorry,
Spencer Baller.
Spencer Baller. And, you
Rob
know what?
Corddry Baller.
Rob Corddry Baller. Yacht Baller, that's the name of their yacht. Yacht
and weirdly, I mean, it is. They have acknowledged that it is a shared universe because Turtle Baller. That will Sal.
Is Turtle Baller in...
Sal Baller. That was his real name.
Yeah, it's a Sally
Sharp. Yeah, exactly.
It's all good. It's all fun. It's all above the belt. But
so
no,
that was the Baller's minute. We need to get a sting.
Yeah, we need to get a guy to come in and yell like Mad Money or something. Who's like,
Jen, you want to take a crack at the Baller's minute sting?
Ballers! That's it. I'm sorry. I really upset your cat.
That's good. We'll play that every time there's a baller sting. You know what? It's missing an Ari Gold.
What? Ballers is missing an Ari Gold.
Or Jen Sting.
Yeah.
Every sting is missing an Ari Gold.
Fuck you.
Baller's missing the everyday man who yells at...
Nailed it.
Thank you.
Well, now I'll do the baller sting as Ari Gold.
Okay. Yeah. Lloyd! Come in here and show me what's going on Ballers.
Great.
Perfect. Genevieve Fricker, everybody. For those who don't know, I know that we didn't give each other like intros in our first episode of Hey Fam, but Jen is
comedian,
a star of stage and screen.
Radio starlet, comedian. Coming soon to probably a Ballers episode near you, I'd say. Season two, you're going
to
be ready.
That would be the dream. Move to LA.
That would be the dream or that is the dream?
That is the dream. Well, that would be the dream for many a young woman.
Yeah.
But
you could be Baller's Meadow Soprano.
Oh, my God.
You could be a real life character the first time they inject some part of...
I would love to play myself on Ballers.
I'd love to play yours. I'd love to be your Rock. I want to be your manager. I the Rock's character and just put you through Ballers and make sure they treat you well.
Yeah. But then also just myself in Ballers because it's set in Miami, right?
It's set in Miami.
Like I can't drive or anything, so I wouldn't know where to go. So a lot of my scenes would just be like, excuse me, is there...
You'd be on phones.
Where am I?
You'd be on phones asking.
Is there a PowerPoint in here? What's the Wi-Fi password?
Actually, that's funny. Tonight someone actually said, and I thought this was kind of outdated for Ballers who seem to have their finger on the pulse of 2013 at least. Someone asked for an iPhone 4 charger. That was an actual line of dialogue that someone in the Screenwriters Guild was like, yep, I've gone to college. I've done this. I'm going to write the line. Is there an iPhone 4
charger? I'm going to put myself out there and say that I actually hear that more than does anyone have an iPhone 5 charger?
Really?
Because everyone does have an iPhone 5 charger now. And
4 is actually harder. It's a rarity. You're right. Everyone's very self-sufficient.
It is a thing now, isn't it?
It's, man, you know what hipsters are like? They like the vintage.
Yeah.
They like the penny farthing bicycles, the typewriters.
The iPhone 4s. This assholes.
I read that in the Miranda Devine column.
Did you write it?
No, I wrote a Miranda Devine column.
That's right.
But if for you to be the Meadow Soprano, I actually feel like if they are going to do that, in Ballers, it needs to be another HBO star.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I'd have to jerk off The Rock?
Sure.
Hey, right.
That works too. You said it.
Say what you think. No, that's fine. I mean, I think The Rock's okay with that. I mean...
But I mean...
I've lowered the tone of this. I'm so sorry.
No, this is great. No, this is good. We need to get blue.
I mean, we will go almost the distance and then stop just short of talking about jerking off The Rock. Like, we've done everything else that there is to do when you're talking about The Rock.
But then I pick up that ball and I just run across the line with it.
It's a lady's touch. It's something that we've never been able to do on this podcast before.
Bloody lower the tone, get a bit blue.
Well,
if there was an HBO star now that could become the Ballers Turtle Equivalent's girlfriend in a near future.
Turtle's Equivalent.
It'd be Lena Dunham. It'd be Hannah from...
Wow.
Because I was going to pitch the fat redhead kid from True Detective Season 2.
I would have Kenny Powers on again, off again, girlfriend from Season 1. You know, they're like the white trash blonde head chick.
No, the one that he's like, no offense, but you have clothes like a dickhead. Fucking dickhead.
It's uttered brilliantly.
We had some people complain to me personally, which I love.
Really?
About their being... That they love the pod. They're like, hey, man, love the pod.
Love the pod. Leave a review
Love the PCast.
Which is actually an entourage pitch. So if you want to review it, this is
We'll get to that later.
Oh, really?
But they were like, hey, man, I love Hey Fam, except...
True Detective spoilers are stopping me from listening to it.
Exactly. But you know what? I was ready to say, let's talk about True Detective later in the episode. But I've just watched it this afternoon. You just watched it this afternoon. When did you watch it?
I watched it last night. Let's talk about it. There's no excuse.
Season 2, episode 4.
Boom.
It's that action sequence that you've been waiting for since you started viewing. I mean, like, the biggest complaint, because we talk about each week, is that, you know, we like season 2. It's
very
fun.
Popular to hate season 2 right now.
It is the most hated show on TV
hating it until I listened to your podcast.
Wow.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that's true testimonial.
I don't know. I just guess I really like the setting.
Shouts to my friend Nacho Pop, who says he doesn't understand
True Detective.
True Detective until he listens to our podcast.
That's so good, Nacho. This one's for you.
So they're all living the dream of a dog.
What aura have we all got right now?
What do you mean, what aura? Oh, what aura have we got? Huge fucking aura.
My aura
right
is so wide, I couldn't even get in the front door tonight. I had to get like some assistance. I think Andrew's got like a kind of purpley.
Who's Andrew, bro?
You. Oh, Levins is. Sorry, I was getting True Detective. Everyone's very. It's all surnames, isn't it?
It is all surnames.
Yeah.
Were you saying that my surname's Andrew?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I was calling you Lev. You're on my phone.
Levins Andrew.
Yeah. Auras.
There was a
segue.
It was, I don't know, like, I get it's trashy. It's pulp, you know what I mean? This season.
This whole season's noir. That's the whole point.
But
last season was
noir.
Southern Gothic. Last season was like, let's have a moody shot of a tree and a girl of a deer thing. And that's perfect for Southern Gothic. Like, you can't do that in any other part of America besides the South. And this is like noir. This is like LA Confidential. This is like Chinatown. It's all the great LA crimes that came
before. And
then
10 minutes of panning over a traffic jam.
And that's fine.
That's kind of my favorite part.
I love
it.
I find it meditative. I mean, yeah. you watch, I you know what? I'm going to post on the Hey Fam Facebook. There was a great comparison that someone did yesterday, and it was screenshots of season 1, season 2, and it's showing all of the shots of the bayous, and maybe in a way illustrating the fact that the South is actually far more prettier and has a lot more personality and a lot more uniqueness to it. And then it was highlighting the fact that season 2, all of their shots are just like highways, refineries, cafes and bars. And it's kind of like, well, you know, take a look at yourself, America, before you start complaining. Because I mean, all the Hollywood press, everyone's coming out of Hollywood, all the people reviewing this show, maybe it's a little too close to home. I don't know, maybe they don't want to be reminded that the rich are getting richer and the 1% are getting, you know, more 1%er. I don't know. I'm gonna say this is the first Illuminati episode where we get like,
that's the real reason Jen's here.
That's all
three
reason.
Triangle,
yeah.
But you know, I don't know, I think that's kind of It's true, and I think the setting is so pivotal to True Detective. I mean, the whole thing I'm thinking about is like, where are they going to do season 3? Is it going to be some, like, how
Antarctica.
Unique can they make it? Exactly. Always have to be Alaska or something. I mean, how unique are they going to make
it? Oh, shit, like Fargo style.
That's what I'm thinking, and then it's too Fargo-y, and then it's like, what are you going to do?
Is Fargo set in Alaska?
No.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Sorry,
so much,
that was good.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
Fargo season 2, if you're looking for a Minnesotan accent.
I just got it. If you need an Ari Gold.
I'm the Ari Gold to your Minnesotan accent.
Yeah, yeah.
I bought that.
Jen, so you didn't like season 2 of True Detective. Why?
Initially, because it was just incomprehensible to me. Mm-hmm. And it was so slow. And yeah, and I just couldn't get into any of the characters. But then. Are we up to episode 4 now? Mm-hmm. Last night was episode 4.
Halfway through.
Yeah, so I reckon episode 3 unlocked it for me.
Because yeah, I wonder why.
It just pulled back a little bit on the characters enough so I could be like, oh, okay, this is what this is pointing to. I guess because I was like, you can't string me along for more than 3 hours without me knowing where this is a little bit going.
Well, yeah, you don't really know if all the things that you're seeing on screen are going to come together at some point, or if they're all just going to be these like vaguely related vignettes.
Well, see, the last time, like we were saying before, season 1, it did it immediately. It was like, here they are now and here they are then. And you kind of immediately got this amazing, unreliable.
You're like, whoa, so that's them in the past, and then they're the same people in the future.
I mean, in a way, maybe that was the pilot. Maybe it was shot as a pilot. You know what I mean? It was like, here's the first episode. If you want more, we got plenty more where that came from.
I reckon as well, first season taught you to look for symbolism in it. Totally. Like, but over the course of the entire...
And I think people forget. Everyone got disappointed by the end of it when there was no neat ties, and everyone was like, oh, it was just a fat kind of, pedophile.
Yeah, weirdo.
Then you could also celebrate that and be like...
Apparently, he's going to be the girlfriend to the Ballers equivalent of Turtle in season 2 of Ballers.
Also, Fat Cop, Ray Velcoro's partner, who's...
R.I.P.
Harvey. Can I just say, have you guys watched, you know, the Something About Mary? Warren, the guy who gets his testicle caught.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Same guy.
Oh,
really?
Shit.
Yeah, found that out today.
That's so
funny.
Did
a little Ballers research myself and found out that he was Warren in... Something About Mary, opening scene, gets his testes caught in a fly.
Wow.
And now look how far we've come.
Has he been in anything else since
then? He was in Deadwood, and I haven't watched that. I know if I've watched it, I'd be like, oh my God, it's that guy from Deadwood. I
mean, yeah.
So I don't want to discount that because I hear Deadwood's incredible.
That would be so cool if he just did Something About Mary and then True Detective.
And they got his head blown off.
Blown into.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, it's very easy to compare it to the classic 6-minute single tracking shot, which wasn't
I reckon we're going to get another single tracking shot in this season.
Because this was kind of like...
This was more like the big shootout.
What we thought in we caught Reggie LeDoux. Yeah, when they got Reggie LeDoux in season one, they're like, we solved the case. We got the we are the true detectives.
And it maybe it is, is it a bit too similar in that we know that they haven't just shot the right people?
Like, it's a bit too similar. I mean, are they doing a time jump again? Because I noticed that Colin is cleanly shaven in the promo for next week.
Oh, man. See,
I was doing that to get daddy rights.
We
to...
don't. We illegally download like peasants. And so...
Oh, see, I've got it on HBO the... here, which I illegally have. We're all illegal. Hey, don't worry. I'm just the most savvy of the pirates. Yeah, I am the Jack Sparrow.
Of course, Hey Fam. Ago. Hey Fam is brought to you each week by HBO Go, our main sponsor.
Stamps.com and Squarespace.com. See, my theory is if we say we're sponsored by these guys, everyone's going to listen and be like, they got Squarespace. They got...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know that these companies don't actually contact you and ask to advertise.
You just start saying
You just start saying it and they send you a paycheck.
Yeah. It's like The Secret.
They send you stamps.
It's like The Secret, yeah. So we're brought to you by
They send you chimps in the mail.
Mail what? But it's kind of... Oh, what a scene. No, but...
Angus just got momentarily distracted by the aforementioned Ari Gold fill-in.
Lady she aged Gold. Far more in the film. She did not look as glamorous, let me tell you that much.
She's in the movie?
She's in the movie.
She's in Watchmen, the movie, as well.
Oh, really? Oh, she's the mom?
Yeah, she's got the makeup on. And they age her terribly as well.
Oh, shout out to your career getting aged.
Let's play some interactive games with our listeners. If you think we should keep Entourage on in the background while we and get distracted throughout the episode, press 1. If you would like us to turn it off, press 2.
What's that?
Oh, that's a 1. All right, unanimous.
Keep it on.
Keep it on.
No,
sick.
No one hit 2.
Hey, oh yeah, but the shootout—it was insane. I thought it was like I did.
We're talking about True Detective now, not Entourage. Oh yeah, there's never been a shootout in Entourage.
Oh man,
there's no hard drugs in Entourage. They're never shooting out. But the shootout was hardcore. I realized I wasn't breathing for like maybe 40 seconds, and I was kind of like, and it was good because it was like daytime, and you don't get a daytime
shootout.
9
yeah.
in the morning action scene. I was like, that was like so fucking cool.
Straight out the gate as well. It's literally like. They don't have to go into a building or anything. It's just like a dude opens fire on them in the middle of the day.
And the building explodes. It was time crisis.
It was time crisis. I loved it. And what I loved about it was how calm and cool war hero Paul was. He was just like, I thought he was like, that was the first time I've seen him like, Woodrow just like owning it.
Oh.
He was owning it.
I learned his name this week because of how good he was.
I learned his name off you learning his name.
Yeah, he was so baller in it.
Do you know what I really liked as well about him in that scene? At the end of that scene where Colin Farrell and Rachel McAdams are
so
bent
calm.
Over. Yeah, he's just like looking around like he's
and
waiting
the
for the next
frame?
Thing. Well,
how good was the ending of the freeze frame?
Such like a 70s cop show
it.
Thing.
And
oh,
I noticed
so cool.
that for the first time because I think it's the only time we've seen like above his waist that Colin Farrell's like wearing flares as his cop. And it made me love him even more.
Oh,
it's like
man.
Such a like 70s
and
cop show.
I also noticed, and I don't know if this has been common throughout the series so far, is the soundtrack is really, really classic. It's like a weirdly soundscapey
noirish.
Mm. But it always has like that muted blah, blah, kind of
it's like someone's got that shit in their trumpet that
has
mutes
that
it.
Yeah.
You know that thing? That thing they stick in there? I don't know what it's called.
It's a rock mallet.
Is it called a mute?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a rock mallet. Yeah, they put someone that can't speak, they shove him in the trumpet.
But they've got the mute in the thing. It's been like that the whole season. Like when you get the kind of like subtle drums and you're it's like classic.
You know what one thing I think is okay to complain about is the music in True Detective. One, the theme song sucks compared to the
Are you kidding me?
I'm the only person in the world that loves that theme
How
song,
good is
I feel
the theme
like.
Song?
Oh, wait, two people.
At work, I had in my
high five.
Head
have a,
for like
have a high
days.
Five now. Let's record this high five.
All right.
Way better
than
Alpha. So
shout
good.
Outs to Tom bum, bum, Waits. That was, oh, not Tom Waits.
No, it's Leonard
Cohen.
That bass line, man?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. It's a good song. I don't think it's a very good theme. It doesn't get me pumped.
But you've got to listen to the lyrics. It's about wearing a mask and then I live among you.
But never mind.
And it's just kind of like, I don't know, man. I'm so into it. The first time it was shocking as shit. And then now I'm just like, I was like, whoa, that's the strangest theme song I've ever heard. Now I'm like, gearing up. I'm playing like airbase.
It sets a mood so well. It's like driving 3 a.m.
Totally.
Down a highway alone. That comes on the radio.
AM station.
You're
and you're
like,
what is this? And you're like, and it's kind of suits
that.
The bar scenes between
Woke
Velcro
this morning.
And Vince Vaughn. You know,
it really sounds like some fun as well.
Woke up this morning.
No, that's way more outdated because you still see the Twin Towers in it. You know?
In The Sopranos.
The Sopranos one. Big close up. And you're like, no, that can't happen now.
Did they didn't edit it at any point?
I'm not upset. Yeah, I'm watching Sopranos for the first time now, which makes me sound like a
I've never watched it, so I'm
yeah.
I'm
no,
even
now
more
that
lucky.
I've got HBO, I'm just like, oh, I may as well go back.
HBO watch. Go, HBO our proud sponsor.
Yeah, our proud sponsor. I wish.
I actually use HBO Go.
Oh, you're using it? There you go.
I don't.
Oh.
Yeah. Doing a MailChimp bit.
So what else? What is going on?
I was talking about True Detective and how much the other part of music I don't like is the girl that plays music in the bar.
I know
you don't
girl.
Like that.
Like, just like hire someone else. Like do it once. Don't hire someone else. What, also, the,
oh,
like,
that bar must be making a lot of money because there's no one in there and they're like, oh, can you come and do the 2 p.m.?
But the way they look at her during the like Vince Vaughn's character is always just looking over his shoulder at the stage.
He's like, is this bitch for real?
Yeah, just being like, the fuck is this? And the song in this week's episode, it's just one chord.
I think it's
isn't
TJ
every
Vena
single
getting
one
a little...
of them just a one chord?
No, so... but it's like the week before, the first time she's in it, she talks. The song's called
the first
like,
song's good
"This
too.
Is My Least Favorite Life," which is
and they
like,
use that for the trailer as well. They use that, and
just
I thought it was
shitty teenage level poetry. This is my.
You could argue that
life.
You could argue that like this season almost embraces like teenage level writing.
That's true.
No, that's what I can't lie about.
I think we'd find the last season did too, but the guys had won Oscars. I think it's just the level of acting.
No, I don't.
Pulpy as fuck. Exactly. I mean, you listen to some of the lines.
When people compare it to like, I mean, season one was. Oh. As enjoyable as oh distracted by entourage again.
Prano just threw a glass of I'd say an exotic cocktail
it
into
is a classic
Turtle's face.
Scene. You
every,
know what I mean?
You know, yeah. Every time you mention entourage, like the episode we're watching right now, we lose 2 listeners.
Yeah,
sorry,
but we also
fuck
gain
them, to be honest.
4,000 bro points, baby bro points,
baby bro points. You guys seen any movies in the last little
oh,
while?
Oh, why, thank you for asking me, Levins. I have.
Because I saw Frozen again. Still a great movie.
No.
I've never seen
but before,
it.
Before we talk about...
You haven't seen Frozen?
You haven't seen Frozen?
No, I'm sorry. I feel like it's too late for me to get on board.
My entry drug for Frozen was when Drake was playing Manny Pacquiao and did the version of Let It Go.
Drake
and I don't know why
go?
That happened. What? Yeah, Drake. It was for the Drake was the host of the ESPYs, like the Emmys for the ESPYs.
I need
Awards.
To pause this right now and watch that.
We need to watch this. No, this is. We'll stick this up on the Facebook. He's in amazing makeup. He does the best lisp. He does the best accent. And he's for some reason. I'm not sure why. I think
is this a bit? Are you doing a bit?
No, I'm not doing a bit.
Drake dressed
Drake did
up
the
as
bit.
Elsa
I'm just
from
like
Frozen
telling you about
and
Drake's
sang
bit.
To Manny.
Drake was dressed up as Manny Pacquiao, and he's like,
oh right.
Oh, and who was?
I thought you were saying he was dressed up as Elsa from Frozen.
No.
Oh, wow, he would up, be such a good Olaf.
Have you seen
right listeners?
You've seen Boogie Nights. You know, by the end of Boogie Nights, when he's recording records and he's in the studio with John C. Reilly, and they're like playing the Transformers freeze. You got the touch. Remember?
Yeah,
you know that
yeah,
scene.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically they saw that and they're like, let's do that with Manny Pacquiao and let's do it with Drake playing Manny Pacquiao and it's for Let It Go. And who is, did you guys watch? Oh, I can't remember his name. This is how live this shit is. We're going to do research before. You guys seen Veep and...
Yeah.
Who is the bearded guy?
Matt Bea? No.
Classic guy who's in Office Space as well is the I'm gonna have to get you.
Oh, Gary Cole.
Gary Cole, and he plays the record producer, and he's amazing. And it's like purple tinted sunglasses with a big ponytail, and he's like, this guy's the hot. It's like amazing.
Wow.
And I've ruined it because I explained it way too much. But it's Drake singing "Let It Go," and I was like, I gotta watch Frozen now. Drake is singing "Let It Go." Right. It was amazing.
Frozen, great movie. I also love that Netflix Australia has almost exclusively just chosen movies that you don't necessarily want to watch, but you're like, ah, what the hell? I'll watch that. I watched Hugo the other night, the Martin Scorsese family movie. Yeah, yeah. But I was always one of those movies. I was like, oh, that looks okay, I guess.
Hugo was great. I really, really great. How good was it?
Yeah, really, really awesome little moment at the end. Shouts to Netflix for.
But he didn't get the role of Spider-Man. That was a kid.
Yeah, he was meant to be. Yeah. How good would it be if Chloe Moretz got the role of Spider-Man?
Spider-Gwen.
Just Spider-Man. Just she was Peter Parker. That'd be awesome.
It'd be a very, very brave new world. And that's a world I want to be a part of.
Jen, you saw a movie at the real cinemas that people are touting as 2015's real masterpiece. What was that movie?
Magic Mike XXL.
And explain the room you're sitting around now actually has a poster sized.
Yeah. So we're in Angus's living room and I've never really questioned it. We brought it up last week. There is a calendar that's permanently open to a picture of the big face of Channing Tatum.
As if like, you know, sexuality aside, as if you don't want to walk into a room and have Channing Tatum in a...
It just seems like a chill dude.
It just seems like
he's wearing clothes in that picture, though.
You know, he's sitting. He's in the living room with me. He's watching television with me.
He's literally part of the furniture.
He's just making sure everything is okay.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, when Channing's in the room, everything's okay. No, you know what?
Have you seen? You've obviously seen the first Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Are you what they call a magic head? I hear that's the term they're now giving to...
A mick head.
Yeah, they're calling everyone a mick head. Who fell in love the first time around and wanted to make sure the magic was there the second time around.
I watched... This is going to sound like a pile of shit, but I actually
All right, that's what we're all about on Hey Fam.
I actually watched the first movie because I was like, I'm a Soderbergh fan.
Yep.
I love his gritty realism.
Again, that was our gateway drug into Magic Mike.
Yeah. Did Soderbergh direct
his
Magic
last
Mike?
Film. The it was his first last one. Film.
Yeah.
Wow. But his DP does the new one.
His DP does the new one. He EPs this new one.
He was it. We all fell in love with Magic Mike. Soderbergh's like, I'm retiring. No, I'm coming back because Magic Mike.
Because I love money. And so the first one, I was like, meh, cool. But then I started... Yeah, I was like, it's an interesting tale.
My wife got dragged to it with a bunch of her good friends that have already seen it. They were like, oh my God, it's the best. You're going to love it. And then she was like, whatever.
I loved it. I think because that
Sorry,
was the
Neha.
Birth of the
McConaughey. I just put Neha on blast.
That was the birth of the McConaughey. That's when...
Yep.
That was the birth of the McConaughey?
That was it.
Magic
that
Mike?
Was.
Really?
It was the birth of the McConaughey. And before then it was like
what
Fool's
a time.
Gold.
Where were you?
What about
actually at the
What about
time?
The ghosts of girlfriends past?
Yeah. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Unfortunately, it does like not register as McConaughey's era. But no, I saw it at a cinema full of male strippers, and I was with my girlfriend.
How do you organize that?
Well, it was just
how
like,
much did that cost to fill a cinema?
Hell of
with
a lot of
strippers?
Favors and a hell of a lot of promises, which is one of the promises. I still have a Magic Mike calendar in my living room at all time, and that actually accounts for 20%. Of all the promises made. No, I was at, she got invited. She used to review movies. And we're like, she's like, come along. And I'm like, you know what? I love Soderbergh again. I'm like, let's see what happens. And I was like, that's an amazing movie. That was like really, really funny. And it was really good. And I was like, McConaughey then, everyone used to kind of laugh at. It was kind of like that pre, how good is he era. Mm. I don't know.
Do you feel like the sexiness of Magic Mike was like a retrospective thing? Like, I feel like... Originally, it was just like an interesting movie about like dynamics
I think
between
it was
people and that kind of stuff.
When
and
it came out,
dreams and the American Dream and all that Soderbergh shit. And then afterwards, people were like,
but
sexy.
I took all the girls there and we all watched it. See, before I remember it being marketed as The Wrestler. Remember, The Wrestler was big at the time.
Yeah.
And why the hell is his name escaping me? The dude who was going to, you know.
Mickey Rock.
No, not Mickey Rock, not the actor, the director who did, you know, Requiem. It's gonna make it sound like such goddamn basics.
No, no
right
one
now.
Knows what his name is.
No, but he was gonna do Batman Begins and then Chris Nolan.
Mark Wahlberg.
We'll call him Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg was it was like, it's like The Wrestler for strippers. They're like, it's another kind of trashy USA dream job, but it's like these real people on the behind. And I think it was marketed like that to a degree at the time. Maybe, I don't know, Facebook ads were really smart then and they were marketing it like that towards me, but yeah, now everyone remembers it for like the Full Monty-esque. Like they're like, yeah, remember how we all saw dudes strip.
I was going to buy it on DVD and then every single copy of the DVD came with fluffy handcuffs.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I've got enough of these.
Yeah. Well, I don't need any more of these. No, but I was just like,
what do you
I
get the girl that has
this.
Everything? Not
exactly.
Another copy of Magic Mike Fluffy Cuff. Fluffy Cuff. That's like really hard to say.
That's your new nickname.
Yeah.
Then, fluffy Cuff Truscott.
But anyway, so I saw XXL with my mom.
Amazing.
Right.
And it wasn't like a thing of like, because it's a girl's night, because we don't really have that relationship. But it was more just like, I've heard this is a good film, we should go.
Did you see the first one? Was she all up to date with the plot? Or did you guys have to do a like 5-minute wiki while the trailers were on?
I was like, they're strippers. That's all you need to know.
Mom, there's these things called strippers.
Yeah.
You're going to love them.
I think you'll be into it. But then it's just a kind of nice road trip movie about like 4 men in a van.
I heard that. This is like a road trip genre movie. They're like, we're going to do like a road trip movie. Donald Glover's going to be in it.
Donald Glover's so great at it.
Yeah.
And he's just himself, which is like this sensitive, unsure guy.
I'm not sure if I'm a rapper.
You've met him, haven't you, Levins?
Yeah, he's pretty sure of himself.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, it's an act.
Oh, God damn it.
shots caught, fired, and also...
Yeah, fuck you, Donald Glover. Script. You know what you're doing.
How dare you be confident in your own ability. But yeah, he's so good in it, and they're all real buff. But I feel like you just watch so much stripping in it, it just becomes this completely asexual thing. Right. Like,
is that the point, though? Do you think it's like to the point they're doing all that stripping to the point where you're like... It's a routine these guys have money to make.
That dude's just banging his flaccid dick into someone's face. Is that okay that I say that?
Absolutely. Like,
Look, we've already said it every episode by now, so if someone hadn't said it by now, it would be a bit...
That's our catchphrase.
The alarm ding, ding, ding. Goes off.
Someone would be like, that's weird they haven't said
is it
banging
true?
Flaccid dick in someone's face.
Is but you're true? Just... You're never more aware of dudes in G-strings with flaccid dicks, which is so weird, but it's like not a sexually charged
It's
thing.
Not at all. It's literally an appendage flopping about. It's exactly. Just like a flailing limb.
Is it true, though, that at the very end of the movie, like, because you don't see Magic Mike's dick until the very end, and then he finally takes his pants down and there's a minion there?
That's the
catchphrase. No,
actually, I don't know anything about Minions. I don't know what the catchphrase is, or I would have said, and then it says it's classic catchphrase.
All I know is the Minions are like the heinous shit I send you
daily.
Do
you know what happens, actually? The Minion looks at the camera and goes, I guess he really is
Magic Mike.
XXL.
And then the curtains widen it. They get more wide when it says XXL.
And then behind him, all the Magic Mikes throughout history stand up. Mike Tyson.
Michael Jordan. Michael Jackson.
Mike Oldfield.
Mike from Breaking Bad.
Mike from Who Dares Wins? Mike Whitney?
Mike Whitney. Yeah.
He's the truest.
The original Magic Mike, Mike in my heart.
So, big week. Comic Con, if you're indoor.
Yeah. Gentlemen. Did anything from the Magic Mike universe get announced at Comic Con? Is there a prequel?
That was my segue because Channing was there announcing the Gambit standalone film.
Are you a big Channing Tatum fan overall, or is it just Magic Mike?
No, not really.
A Fanning Tatum? See, I'm a huge Fanning Tatum. I don't know why. I think it was because the 21 Jump Street, I was just like so taken by him as a presence.
I wish him no harm. I'm just not a fan.
But it was crazy though to say, like, a lot of people that, like, the same people that, same ladies in my Facebook, that's the worst thing I've ever said. Same
ladies.
A lot of girls that I saw championing Mad Max for being like having feminist, a really great feminist agenda throughout the movie are saying similar things of Magic Mike.
Feminist.
It's just so funny that because I feel like if
Jada
you went,
Pinkett Smith, right? She's kind of like
Jada
the...
Pinkett Smith's really good in it. Andy McDowell's in it, and she's kind of really great
she's
in it as well.
Good.
But it's just this thing of like the whole movie, the whole premise is like a bunch of guys get in a frozen yogurt van, drive across America, and are nice to ladies. Like, that's the whole premise of the thing.
It's the type of America I want to live in.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
But it's just weird. At the beginning of the year, if you were like, yeah, so the two, like, most, you know, celebrated feminist movies of the year are going to be a sequel
Magic
to
Mike
Mad
and Mad
Max.
Yeah. And they're both literally on par, and they're also, yeah. That's funny.
Mm. What a crazy world we live
in.
Did
you see that video of Channing Tatum helping Stan Lee off the stage?
No,
at
I
Comic-Con?
Didn't, but my heart just fluttered upon
mentioning.
Because
he's a gentleman?
He's a gentleman. He's a southern gentleman.
And everyone else is just standing around watching Stan Lee struggle and then Channing
Why wouldn't
just
you do that?
Up.
The guy's like 95.
Maybe they thought he was doing a bit, one of his classic bits.
he's Channing.
He's calling a Stan.
Comic-Con, Channing, was there for the announcement.
Stan Lee
Gambit.
Walked on stage, said Excelsior, fell over.
Walked off. Channing carried him off, stripped. I would have liked, to think the original
name. With
both
of their flaccid dicks hanging as they walked off the stage.
This is like a genuine conversation I had with someone last week was, isn't it weird that everyone's walking around with a dick in their pants? Like, you can just look at a dude and be like, that dude has a penis right now.
But women
I
do
count
as well, right?
One person in this room that doesn't have
But not their own dick. They just, like... someone else's dick
online.
in their pants.
Yeah, we all keep one like a little rabbit's foot.
You rub it for good luck. Yeah. You rub it for really bad luck. It's it depends.
It's not a sexual thing.
It's definitely not sexual.
Not a sexual thing.
It's not. No, I will. I'll remember that next time I'm walking down the street.
How does a discussion about is it really funny that men have dicks in their pants at all time end?
It just ends with us laughing crying? And then pointing and being like penis.
Yeah.
Just cool. Underneath everyone as you walk down the street.
Have you given that game a name yet?
No. Can you give it one?
Connect Four. No.
Connect Four. Perfect. Hungry, hungry hippos.
Minions, guess who? You know where they brand that shit.
That's actually about a third of the Minions movie I heard is just them pointing at
men. Guess who? Pointing at each other's
dicks. I mean, like, there's a dick in there.
Yeah, but in Minionese. which is like.
So I think, are we going to go see it?
Minions?
Is that the rumor that I started just then?
I don't know. We haven't seen Despicable Me. We haven't seen Despicable Me 2.
I want to go in cold. I want a true Minion. I don't want to get watered down by those.
Do a live episode from a showing of Minions?
A plan we had was to just
get
meet
kicked
people.
Out of the cinema. Yeah. That'd be excellent.
A plan we had was to meet people, like do a live show and then meet them after the movie in the foyer, like unbeknownst to them, and pretend we're kind of scorers for like a 20th Century Fox or something. Like, oh, how did you find the movie, and get some great pull quotes. But
do you reckon the worst people in the world are the people that went to see Ted 2 or Minions?
I think Ted 2.
Ted 2.
Just because, like...
Because children are innocent.
Yeah, children are innocent.
And God, Ted 2, and the Bible.
Yeah.
The people that saw Ted 2 probably had a tax file number, and it's kind of like, you guys already, you know, you're part of the problem.
Did you see that amazing screenshot of Seth MacFarlane's tweet after the marriage equality was announced in America? Oh.
No, what did he do?
Oh, he tweeted, congratulations, see Ted's struggle for rights this weekend.
Great. Tasteful. Ugh. It's almost along the words of like John Lennon's Imagine, isn't it? We'll all be remembering. Oh, do you remember when Seth MacFarlane?
I find that Seth MacFarlane's tweets are 10 times funnier when you read them in Stewie's voice.
That guy cracks me up.
The baby wants to kill his mom. It's a classic.
10 seasons in a 20 movies, right?
10 seasons and Ted 2. Let's talk about Comic-Con. We almost started in the night.
Oh, yeah. And then Comic-Con.
Then I brought it back to Magic Mike. No, and penis talk.
It's all
yeah,
good.
I really hijacked that. I'm sorry, everyone.
No,
in our first episode of Hey Fam, we ragged all over a movie called Suicide Squad.
I didn't rag too much, I got to say. I was still of the half is still, the cup is still
yeah,
half.
Yeah, sure. If we're going to lie about it, I didn't do it either. But
if we're going to make it sound edgy or damaged, then yeah, we did.
Suicide Squad is the DC criminals teaming up to...
It's the baddie Avengers.
It's the baddie Avengers.
It's the baddie Avengers.
Amanda Waller is
the bad...
works with the government to get all the bad guys that with superpowers to work together to...
do the shit
to... Do suicide missions. And hence
CIA
our Suicide
just don't
Squad.
Do, do you think Will Smith will have a rap song called Suicide Squad? That's my first question.
I really wish that he continued the trend of making...
Wild Wild West,
songs.
Men in Black, Men in Black 2. Yeah, he did it all. I mean, I thought Hitch, he could rhyme a lot of words with Hitch. I was really pissed off when I was like, I went to the CDs. I was like, where's the Will Smith Hitch song?
Where's the
like,
Pursuit of Happiness thong song? Well, thong song.
Yeah. I mean, what rhymes with Hitch? You got Ditch. It's just like the list
that's
goes
it.
On. You know
Mitch.
What I mean? It's just Mitch. Yeah,
real
Minions.
Mitch heavy.
Hitch better have my money.
Exactly. But Hitch was so opportune.
Will Smith plays Deadpool. No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
He plays Deadshot. Right?
Oh, yep. Yeah. No, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he does. Who is a very, very important character in the initial Suicide Squad
because
run.
Because the trailer that everyone was doubting. Everyone was like, this movie's going to be a hunk of shit.
Well, they were leaking out photos from it. There were about 100 would leak a day for
it was
about
Canadian,
2 weeks.
I guarantee it was Canadian journalism laws. That's what I'm putting it down to. They showed the whole thing in Toronto and this guy's a lax as shit up there.
Yeah, man. Know. Drake was just allowed on set all day. To sing,
I'm surprised
Let It Go.
Drake isn't
back,
in it, as a matter of fact.
You don't know that yet. He might
well.
Be in
there. Yeah, back in his wheelchair.
That's how he travels in
Toronto. He had some missiles inside his wheelchair.
So he can park wherever he wants. Yeah. He gets Jimmy's wheelchair
classic
back
Jake,
out.
Drake, yeah.
Classic Drizzy.
I was really surprised by it. I remember I sent you the mobile footage and then the HD one came out later this week. I was like, holy shit, that is like...
Yeah, I mean, like it's not really a preview in that it is just kind of like
well,
showing
you moments.
Well, they've stressed
that. And how do you feel about that? They've made a big thing.
Well, it was very obviously made for a Comic-Con audience. Like it's, you know, that you're just seeing glimpses of what everybody looks like in there.
It's literally only three scenes and they've spread it out over 2 minutes, which is fine. I mean, they haven't shot a lot, but... I'm glad they've honored. I mean,
did you watch it, Jen?
Yeah, I watched the mobile version and I watched the HD version.
What did you think
which did you like better?
I reckon I like it both
I like
equally.
The rawness of the mobile version.
I like
version.
The cinema verite version.
Mm. I mean, everyone was like, you know, they were watching it for whatever, but... The Jared Leto moment.
I know.
That's
and
the
that
one
was,
that everyone is
we were
waiting
so
for.
Concerned that his Joker was going to be just a real turd. And instead... What rhymes with turd, but that's good.
A bird.
A bird. A real bird.
It was a bird of hope. I liked his grill. He has a grill in it.
But it works. It kind
but
of, it kind of works.
Also,
like he's still a, kind of like... Yeah.
If you have a look, this is how hardcore I've gotten. So on the Comic-Con shots of Batman's suit, he's got steel knuckles and steel boots because the rest of the suit's not that like protective. You know, the kind of like traditional... And so I'm picturing there's going to be some bat... smashing of teeth.
Oh.
If you have a look, I did some pausing at opportune times and there's some real jagged
teeth. Just like
teeth
in CSI.
And yeah, just like in CSI. I was like, let's fire up this old bitch and her hip pores. But yeah, there's a lot of jagged teeth and a lot of steel caps over. And like, yeah. So I'm starting to think, I think Batman caused that toothy grin.
Forgive my ignorance. The Joker isn't part of Suicide Squad.
No, like, Joker is. He's not. I think he's going to be like a Hannibal Lecter.
No, you can't control Joker. He won't work on a government.
I reckon he'll have 10 minutes in that movie. Like, if that.
Well, really? No, apparently an early leak of the script said that
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Suicide Squad exists to take down the Joker.
So he's the villain. I was wondering if he was a villain.
Because
Harley Quinn becomes Harley Quinn because Stockholm of the Joker, syndrome-y. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think this is her origin story. I think she's already Harley Quinn.
Well, no, you see,
Harley Quinn.
The one that... Oh. I think there's flashbacks because, you know, when he's... What's the line? I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you really, really bad. She's the one in the chair. There's this quick shot of her and it's Margot Robbie with glasses on.
Right.
And the doctor outfit. And I think we're going to see... I think... This is why I'm thinking everyone's getting really ahead of themselves. Maybe that's an older Joker, which we're going to see a newer version of Leto Joker, where perhaps he wears different things. I don't know, but all we've seen—he
looks like a character out of High School High. Do you remember that
or
movie?
Borderlands 2? But yeah,
definitely Borderlands 2.
But it's kind of like he's there, and yeah, she's strapped down to a chair, and she's got like a belt over her mouth, and he's like, "I'm gonna fuck you up," basically. And then the footage that was leaked was him going to her house when she was still the doctor. So I think, I don't
know.
That's
how they like fall in love and stuff.
Yeah, she was
his
like psychiatrist type thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know how much this is going to be a time jump, but then you see Batman as well on the cast. So I don't know what their timeline is.
Yeah. I mean, they've leaked so much of this movie and I still have no idea what it's going to happen.
Good. I don't know.
Good. Yeah.
But I was really impressed. And a slow down Lana Del Rey a sized version of a Bee Gees song for the...
That's who was singing it.
I was like,
I know that as a Faith No More song.
Oh, yeah. No,
I'm a real rocker.
Yeah, you can tell. It was real... yeah, I thought that was like...
I'm
really
a real
tasteful.
Bungle boy.
That was my least favorite part of the whole
really?
Show. Yeah.
I just like the timing when it was like...
I totally agree.
I mean, it was probably ham-fisted, but when you saw him at the end with like all these medical
tools
and he's like,
Lana
the joke's on you.
Lana Del Rey has so many other...
It's not her.
They could just put on video games.
Just want to ride and feel it. You know what I mean?
Tell me I'm your national anthem.
ASAP Rocky, my favorite JFK ever. Wasn't that like
they should reshoot the Oliver Stone movie.
What's your top
Rocky.
Three JFKs?
JFKs, it's definitely ASAP Rocky, mm-hmm. JFK Jr., and then JFK.
Yeah.
Costner doesn't even look. Who plays JFK in JFK? Found footage, isn't it?
Found footage.
No one actually plays. Yeah, the great actor.
I guarantee
footage.
Like a Douglas or someone gets away with it somewhere along.
What about that movie where Lindsay Lohan in it? It's about the JFK shooting. Who played JFK in that?
It wasn't JFK.
Oh, like I want to say like Dennis Quaid or something weird. Like
definitely
that.
A Quaid.
No,
right?
I think there was the other. It was JFK's brother, Bobby.
KFK.
Bobby K.
BFK. Yeah, wasn't it? Or wasn't it the John Lennon one with Jared Leto? Fat Jared Leto. She was in that. Where. She's starring in a lot of movies where people get assassinated. Maybe she played the other Beatles fan where Jared Leto put on like 60 kilos and played
the duty kills.
Yeah.
I wish we got a fat Joker. That'd be cool.
I'd like a fat Joker.
Another trailer leaked.
Well, because we got this. It's still the DC universe, though. Well,
Batman
versus
Superman. Exactly. Another trailer that came out for Comic-Con.
Same universe.
So let's just say that I was not on board for Suicide Squad, and now I guess I'm on board, but I'm allowed to take that back at any point and say at no point was I ever on board with this movie. Same as Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Trailer?
Man, Jesse Eisenberg as Luthor is going to steal the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm so not on board with Jesse Eisenberg in that thing at all.
Really?
Oh man.
Was it the hair?
Was it the
Valencia sneakers?
You never know. He might have like a bad accident that might be Superman related and lose that.
It always
hair.
Is. I hope it always is. If they stick to Geoff Johns, what was Geoff Johns run?
Well, everyone and Mark Waid's origin story as well.
But what's the run again? Where he like, why does he lose his hair? There's always a Superman esque reason behind it.
He was his lab partner, and he wasn't living in a Bunsen burner. Went out of control.
Did you guys ever see that Jesse Eisenberg movie? Now You See Me?
Yes, the magician one.
He's just doing the same character. Yeah.
He's doing the same as Mark Zuckerberg.
Yucky.
It was everything. Yeah. It's just like
he's a real yucky guy.
He's like yucky.
He's more like Mark Zuckerberg.
He's like Michael Cera. It's like you hire Jesse Eisenberg to be Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Did you see Adventureland? That movie sucks.
No, I really liked Adventureland. Ryan Reynolds was awesome.
Cool guys, don't worry about it.
I love
Do a whole podcast about it. Come on.
Cool, yeah, my new podcast, Adventure Lame. Coming to iTunes.
Adventureland.
but the Batman vs. Superman amazing. Trailer. Yeah, I mean, again.
First time I've seen an agile Batman. First things first.
Batman has always.
We've sort of been so weighted by.
And now he has possibly the heaviest costume that he's had so far, and he looks the most agile.
No, I'm not talking about the robo mech Batman. I was thinking about the scenes where you see him like shoot a gun, which we haven't seen for a while. Not, I mean, a handgun, but shooting a grappling hook. Yeah. Like all these classic Batman tropes, which we've not had in the films for like over 15 years or something, but at this, you know, his regular suit, which I'm sure we're going to see fuckloads of in the movie, so flexible. I don't know, it looks good to have an agile Batman. And you know, the big complaint about Man of Steel was, I don't know why it was a complaint either that he leveled a city when fighting somebody. And we've
no, because
about it.
Because Superman would never let that happen. The but character of Superman values human life above all, and he would have found a way to not let people die.
What about a Superman, the first Superman day on the job? We've never really seen that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah.
We've never seen that.
But he didn't show any remorse.
Well, we don't know. The movie ended.
Well, I know, but he would have gone at least noticed, like, oh, shit, I just knocked a building over.
But
he didn't go, like, better not do that again.
But what did you think of seeing it?
He didn't turn around and go, talk about a hard day at work. Yeah,
my bad.
But, like, how purposeful was it that the first show you see in this is Bruce Wayne watching the same tower that they're destroying collapsing?
Is that what it is, or is it another going to
no,
be
it's
another,
the same one. It's the same show. There's this gif going around, and it's the inside of they're inside the building. Remember when Zod starts shooting shit out of his eyes the first time we see like laser Superman eyes, and it actually matches up to the point even to the blinking. And so they're making out that huge tower that collapsed is Wayne Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, the most Batman thing I've seen in a long time, it's in the trailer. It's more Batman than anything I've seen in the last iterations. Is Bruce Wayne in civilian's clothes. You see all these people running away from debris. He's running in head on, no armor, no car, nothing. I'm like, that's a really cool Batman. That's the Batman that I kind of, that's the Bruce Wayne I know.
I'm ready for Batfleck too.
I'm so ready. I want an old Batman. And the fact you see Robin's suit encased in armor saying the joke's on you, Batman. So Jason Todd's happened. Like, okay, this Jared Leto Joker has already killed a Robin, hence the teeth. I'm like thinking they're doing the world building well,
dude.
You know?
You are a beautiful minding this right now.
You know,
all the pieces are coming out of different trailers, and you're just putting.
Well,
they're
doing.
He's been just checking GIFs all day, hoping.
But it's like it's interesting, you know. Marvel still haven't put a female character forefront. It's interesting that Suicide Squad trailer 80% is Harley Quinn. I'm like, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be her movie. Her and Amanda Waller are probably going to be the two most powerful.
Totally. And Civil War is like the next big Marvel movie. And it's like, oh, it's the heroes fighting. It's interesting that it's DC's next movie. It took like 11 movies. I'm like, are they doing this on purpose?
Get that you like DC more than Marvel?
No, I don't. I don't at all. I really like Marvel. I love them.
I also love that you don't say that to me when I say that DC sucks. That you say you don't say the opposite of
no,
that.
No, I don't. We've yet to see a DC universe. We've only seen one movie. We're yet to see any part of more of this
Are you on Team DC, Team Marvel?
Marvel.
Or are you a real mystery man, gal?
I'm more a mystery man. I like
was that?
Didn't expect to see you as a spoon.
Perfect.
Oh, man. You can make expand a soundboard out of all of these, by the way.
Ben Affleck, Pee Wee Herman.
I'm a Marvel person, but only because of their politics, but I enjoy the storyline of DC better.
No, I like both. I think both can exist. It's like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Definitely. Mm. But yeah, like, no, I mean,
I'm just like, I think it's kind of unfair that everyone's super harsh on DC's vibe when nothing has been released.
And then Man of Steel was released and it sucked.
See, I liked Man of Steel. I was like,
we're just repeating ourselves from the first episode.
Do you know what bums, like what you were saying about Harley Quinn being front and center, but she's still like licking metal poles.
And that
like,
was holding, whack, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like holding like, but also,
in the cam rip, when the first scene, I was like, is she topless when she's upside down? Yeah. She's not, but yeah.
But also,
they've only shot maybe 10% of the movie and they're probably just like, we've got to put some shit together. Like,
quick, Margot, lick this pole.
Yeah, Margot.
It's integral to the storyline that you lick this pole. Wolf of Wall Street
footage. It's just like, shit, we've got to...
The president's going to die unless you lick that pole.
But again, we live in like such a world where like we're so like, oh, that's going to be crap just from a screen. And like, I still think that Jared Leto's spoiler, the image leak of him as the Joker was like such a poor move and everybody was... Maybe they want to shock us. I don't know. It shocked everyone the wrong way, but... We're also judgmental. I mean, let's wait till I'm a fan of let's waiting until Magic Mike comes out, and then we learn it's actually like
that's true.
A nice road
that's
trip
true.
About boys and an ice cream.
I want to know more about Cara Delevingne's character in it.
Yeah, Enchantress.
Yeah, because
she's a wild beast that you cannot control, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean, the closest link to someone we've seen in a superhero movie so far is Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch, also maybe Phoenix from X-Men.
Yeah, except, you know, she's much more of a, you know, like the dark arts kind of.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, Phoenix, like when she's like, I've got too much power and the third movie sucks.
Most people forgot about that movie.
No.
I sure did.
I whip myself every time I think about it.
I'm actually really excited about Holly Hunter in Batman v Superman.
Totally.
She's like the senator.
She's the senator at the start. Right. She's like, oh. But how good's like, it seems like all the complaints, well, not all of them, but a bunch of the complaints from the last movie addressed straight away. Superman, I mean, again, let's not weigh it down with talk about people who own, you know, land or whatever. But the first shot is like Superman flying to a court to repent for his sins, apparently. And I think that's like, I don't know, that's the Superman I know, you know?
Yeah, dog, I'm on board for this movie.
But also, did you catch those scenes where Batman's wearing, like, one thing that I the later films, the Nolan ones, which I dig heaps, he was always, I don't know, I kind of like in the kind of comic vibe of this where there's a scene in the desert you kind of see, and Batman's got, like, big goggles on and, like, a leather jacket and kind of, like, a different bat outfit on. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of down with that.
I'm down for sand desert.
Themed. And what do you think of Jeremy Irons as young Alfred, but not really. Yeah. It's like young Einstein, but not really. He's like, there's no electric guitar or big hair. He's just got kind of some hot Tom Ford glasses on and kind of like...
So that is actually Alfred.
He's Alfred. Yeah, right. Yeah, Jeremy Irons Alfred.
Yeah, right. Kind of harkening back to the Earth One.
It's such Batman, a Jeff Johns Earth One vibe.
Which is a good tie into the next Batman movie, which is being written by Jeff Johns and Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns is DC's main big name writer,
big boy on campus.
He currently writes Justice League, and
he's done for the so New 52 he did all Aquaman, and it was kind of like he spazzed it out, remember?
And you know, he writes all their big events, and he's done lots of good comics.
The first time they've let a mainstream comic like headhunted
straight up, and it doesn't make any sense that this is the first kind of instance of it happening.
No,
I know
a lot
of people have assisted. I know like Chris Yost assisted on stuff in the past, but
it's great to not see David Goyer's name on a comic book like reboot screen. I know Ben Affleck's won an Oscar for directing films. Jeff Johns has won the equivalent for writing comics.
Yeah, like Jeff Johns is, I don't know, he's definitely like the DC version of Brian Bendis, except I hate Jeff Johns a little less than Brian Bendis these days.
But I mean, like, the guy's kind of like, if you want to write a hit comic, that's a guy you kind of...
Yeah, I mean, his comics sell the most.
But Zack Snyder's still going to direct it, right?
Yeah. No, he's not. No.
Oh, no, he's not. No, not Batman. Just Batman versus Superman.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No, this is another... This is the one after... They're going to do... So, the standalone Batman movie. Like
right,
just,
right.
Which is rumoredly... I think it's called The Batman.
The Batman? Okay,
which I'm down with that title.
I wonder if it's going to be, like, set after... Batman versus Superman, or before.
Well, Ben Affleck ain't getting any younger. Except now that he's single.
Maybe
he's only as young as the person he feels. So.
That's true.
Is it? Sorry, and it's not just because I keep looking at the Entourage thing, but is it Batman moving to LA and becoming a baller?
Yeah, he's becoming a.
Fuck yes.
He's entering the lucrative world of sports marketing.
Yes.
He's looking at his tax. He's like, we've really letting down Wayne Sports. The last few years, we've been noticing a lot of money plummeting out of that. Let's do it. And yeah, he gets Robin as like
ball know, man.
Quarterback. Ball man. Mole man. My mole man, I'm going to have to say this. My friend and I have this. He works at JB Hi-Fi. And he had a customer come in one day and he was requesting the film Paul Blart Mall Cop. But the guy didn't know the name of the movie, the guy he was asking for. And so he just came in, he's like, I'm looking for a movie. And my friend's like, oh yeah, how can I help? What do you want? He's
We've
like,
got a few of those here.
So it's called Mall Man. So all that we've, I guarantee you have, Plasticari. You look at texts for the last few months, every text we've sent each other is just Mall Man. And it's kind of beautiful, isn't it? Like Mall Man. It's kind of
Hans Mall Man.
Yeah, it's just kind of like this beautiful, I don't know. Sorry, Entourage has gone really dirty,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, I can see in the reflection of your glasses, a dude just getting ridden.
Yeah.
But controversial, it's an Entourage sex scene and they're not doing reverse cargo.
Yeah, and Vince isn't in it either.
He's doing the movie.
And there's only one woman.
He doesn't
in
have
it.
Time to do a
There's
do
only
a
one woman and no one's drinking
and
margaritas.
And it's not in Hawaii in a shack.
All right, let's finish our Entourage talk by talking about something that we brought up last week.
Oh, no, something I've got to say, Comic-Con again. Yeah. No, we're still on Comic-Con. Who saw the Deadpool?
Oh, hell yeah.
I missed it.
That's another shaky cam rip that
TJ Miller?
TJ Miller saying that Deadpool's face
looks like
looks
an avocado
like...
that fucked an old avocado is like one of the best things I've
heard.
And then
this is an even more ridiculous one that I know I won't get right, but it's going to be an extremely crass superhero movie.
Yeah. Yay!
And it's amazing. I mean, what type of world do we live in where someone has fucked up a character once and is allowing the actor to do it again?
Well, I mean, Ryan Reynolds really put his all into
it. He loves Daredevil.
Like, even Green
Deadpool.
Lantern sucks. But he's great in it.
Oh man, yeah.
They announced Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, and they also there's also a Green Lantern joke in the Deadpool movie.
Oh, is it
trailer.
Really?
Yeah, he's like when Deadpool's undergoing the operation to get superpowers, he's like just don't give me a green costume or an animated costume.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought he said don't make me blah blah. I couldn't hear it. I thought he was making fun of the Hulk, but no, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Holy shit, that's really
good.
Funny. Yeah, no, that looks amazing. And Star Wars didn't really show anything. I had a friend that, I asked him on Saturday. I was like, oh, can I ask? I have a friend who was there, Steel Saunders. And he was like, he's lining up, blah, blah, blah. He was in Hall H for the Star Wars presentation.
It's pronounced Hall.
So I was like, can you tell me? I was going to ask him three cool questions. And I forgot to because I'm forgetful. The only one I was going to ask was who was the biggest nerd, who was the fattest nerd, and what was the worst shirt you saw? So I don't know. Hopefully he can get back to us before then because you know how everyone has like funny shirts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he wanted like really emotional like questions. But I was like, no, I don't want that. But the footage they released, the Star Wars guys released, which wasn't a new trailer or anything, was that awesome. Like, here's how we're making the movie. And again, it's just, I don't know, Disney kicking goddamn goals, being like, everything is okay. And the fact you see the puppets and I don't know, there's this moment in it. And have you guys watched it? It was kind of like Star Wars guys going, it was a 3-minute bit. It was just like, oh, this is how we're making the movie.
Of those 3 minutes, how many of them did you spend crying?
Well, I Kevin Smith, the entire, I cried for a lot, maybe six in total.
Beautiful.
But there's this great scene and they just do a snap to the left and it's like JJ off stage being like action. And then it's quick pan to the left and it's a stormtrooper marching Poe Dameron. Fuck, I only know his character name. How virginity seeking is that? Isaac, what's his name? Isaac.
Someone from Star Wars.
No. He's one of the new guys. He was in X-Machina.
One of the new guys from Star Wars.
Yeah, and it's him. He's getting marched by a stormtrooper down into like a detention cell. But it was like, oh, that's all real. Like everyone in an outfit there is real. There's no special effects.
Oh,
and
cool.
It's like, that's really nice. And it was just like, oh yeah, the whole thing's built. And I don't know, there's just really nice shots of like them showing puppets and Admiral Akbar, Neenum, all these like cool classic Star Wars dudes. And also you see Leia and 3PO and...
Apparently they're only using puppets so they can have better chances of getting a grant from the Australia Council. Grants joke.
Is that a grants joke?
It's a grants joke.
We don't get that.
If you've applied for a grant in the last year, you'll get that.
Grants?
And you'll be like, oh, good one, Dad.
well, speaking of which, we actually got a present for you this episode.
Oh.
Steve and I found it. Thanks for reminding me. I saved it for the whole thing. It's a shirt that actually says #SwagDad.
#SwagDad. #.
And we wanted
awesome.
You to have that one. We wanted your live reaction.
The
and
the best. That's amazing. Where'd you find this?
Just nearby.
Gucci? Have you heard of Gucci?
Yeah. Ever heard of Giorgio Armani?
#SwagDad.
But yeah, that's for you.
Thank you so much.
No, it's
I didn't bring
pleasure.
You any gifts.
No, you don't have to. You bring gifts other times.
Hey, Jen, you want this shitty t-shirt I just got?
No, I'm good. Thank you, babe.
Hey, actually, can I have that shirt back? There's a receipt that I can still get some sweet $16 at.
Last week on Hey Fam, the show you're listening to right now, we asked, I don't know if you listen to many podcasts, Jen, but the low light of every episode is when they're like, hey, go to our iTunes, leave us a review.
Leave us a review. Rate us. Is that something? That's my Mark Maron.
I was going to say Mark Maron.
Yeah. I'm a woman of many voices.
Pow!
Pow!
He'd also pretend to be at every
Dorito, single... or whatever the fuck he says.
Stamps.com.
But we decided to change it up and say instead of reviewing us, we want you to review or pitch an episode of Entourage. So our iTunes page is just filled with random Entourage episode pitches.
And we're in people... the HBO boardroom right now about green light.
We've got a handful. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about
it. We've got a few. There's been some really hot contenders right now. I'm excited about it. And we're going to actually write and then act out.
Yeah. We're going to do a live episode of Hey Fam eventually. And in that, we're going to act out our favorite Entourage episode pitch.
I mean, you could be Lloyd. That's a bit, you listener could be, you could be Lloyd, Jen.
Jen,
you
could be Lloyd.
If you want to do your best.
When you're off, we've already got your cast for Vince already. Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, I'm Ari. I did my audition.
Shit, you're right. You're the Ari.
I yelled at Lloyd
for Baller's Watch. Yeah, it's true.
Actually, no. I'm the sixth main character of Entourage.
It's
which
like
is the
Beetle.
City of LA.
It's,
yeah. Oh. Sorry.
I'm Queens Boulevard.
I've always wondered. I'm the American Dream. Where does that?
So Angus and I kicked things off by pitching our own episodes. Angus, do you want to read your one out?
Well, I don't have it. Do you want to read it out?
I'll read it out in my best Angus voice. Vince gets an offer to star in a reboot of Short Circuit from director David Schwimmer. Drummer has an STD that's causing him from auditioning for the voice of Johnny Five. Turtle accidentally spends all of Vince's Bitcoin on sneakers. Ari gets mad and yells when Vince accidentally periscopes himself getting a BJ. He is just there. And that kicked things off.
Kind of like how you expect it, right?
I thought I would add my pitch as well. My pitch for the best Entourage episode is Turtle dies, Drama dies, E dies, Ari dies, Lloyd dies, and Vince does the movie.
Hey.
I got one here too. I got a... we got a crossover episode.
Yeah, let's read out some of these. Jen, you can read some of these ones out too. I want to hear your voice first though, Angus. You want to read out number 7 there?
45 minutes of Ari learning how to play I'm Yours by Jason Mraz on the ukulele. Now, that's something I'm going to look at. Let's turn that to 90 minutes.
Like, yeah.
That's a two-parter. And I'll do 8. We got a body swap.
That was from Tullet, by the way.
That's from Tullet.
Minion fan number 1, Tullet.
Huge Minion fan. You can get at him on the... He's going to be the first guest on the Minion cast, right?
Yeah, you can find him on Twitter at Minion Man.
Pendle Wad. E swaps bodies with Vince. Turtle swaps bodies with Ari. Drama swaps... dongs with Billy and height with Seth Green, which I think is
interesting. Who's Billy?
Billy is the director of Medan and Queens Boulevard.
Oh, right.
He's the unhinged director.
Oh, the drug guy.
Yeah. It ends with them all explaining to each other how they have mad sympathy for you, bro.
Mad empathy.
Empathy, yeah. It's
They're slightly different.
Yeah, in a way. You'll find out in how those two things are very similar. Also, Sloan swaps bodies with Busey and makes an opportunity to smoke heaps of Billy's. I think
they smoke heaps of directors of Medellin.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That's completely true. And yeah,
I nodded at your joke.
Yeah, it's a great joke.
Which one did I read?
Jen's gonna read number 9.
Number 9
by Was1978.
This is the one I'm excited for.
Oh,
the most.
Yeah, the crossover episode.
Someone's playing to my
In the first, and this is a 5-star one as well. I love that people can rate their own ones
because have that's you seen what they're
the rating all 5 is. No, that's them rating Hey Fam.
No. That's them rating their own.
Oh right, this is a great comment.
Yeah.
The best thing is, can we just say how they've spelled reboot?
Where is it? Rebot. Oh, yeah, Rebot.
And I like that. I hope there's a cyborg-esque.
Yeah, Entourage like, Rebot.
Yeah.
In the first ever crossover episode, The Rock from Ballers.
Thank you for clarification.
From nowhere else.
Yeah.
From not from wrestling.
Makes a guest appearance in tonight's episode. Vince and The Rock appear on the first on the ever-popular Whoopi talk show and end up in a fist fight. Dram? Oh, drama.
No, that's what his friends call it.
Dram.
Dram. Dram and Turtle try to rescue Vince but end up making things worse. Ari and E hurl insults at each other for 7 minutes. Vince gets the movie. #damage.
That's like the most quintessential Hey Fam.
Oh, my gosh.
I just want to point out that it's taken 4 episodes, but Angus's cat has finally accepted me and is now sitting on my lap.
No, she's a real Hey Fam. She's the last one left.
She's the hard Hey
We've got
fam.
Two more.
Holy shit. Oh, fuck. We do too. These popped up during the day.
We've got LTL Sydney here.
All right, you do that one. Says,
drama makes his baby bro breakfast.
Classic.
He changes his mind about being with Sloane.
Hang on. This actually sounds like the debut movie. Episode. This sounds like the pilot to Entourage.
Vince enters some parallel universe where he meets the anonymous hot lady with no pants from episode one of True Detective season two. The one who told Paul/Taylor Kitsch to basically come to bed, honey.
Holy shit.
She's not very anonymous, isn't she?
She's anonymous. She's pretty like...
She's pregnant now.
She's preggo. They're yeah. married.
That's what you do when you propose to a girl.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Vince points out that it makes zero sense that Paul got done for getting serviced from an actress in episode one if he's A, gay, and B, needs Viagra to get it on with an anonymous hot lady with no pants. The rad old biddies from Mad Max Fury Road take over Hollywood and gun down all the dudes from Entourage and take Dana Gordon and Miss Ari to join their apocalyptic biker gang.
There we go. Was Dana Gordon the one? Was that the lady's name we were trying to remember all episode?
Yeah.
And we got one more here. Entourage the movie 2 Down Under. And look, I'm excited just by that. It's by
Eight
D.D.
seasons
Fletcher.
And two movies.
Yeah. Who they said they can never do it. You know, here we go. Johnny Drama leads the role, and this is playing close to all of our hearts. Reckless Kelly 2, and convinces the boys to travel with him to the Gold Coast, Australia. It's actually the most like on character thing I've heard out of all of this. Vince Mendy's time languishing on Cavill Avenue, pulling birds at leisure. I think you'll find LaBelle lawsuit might take place because I'm pretty sure that's what he did last time he was in Australia. He spends time missing Sloane, and you know the good thing about that is it's. Look, don't be afraid to leave a review because everyone can write for E. Everyone's always like, how do I do it? Everyone can write for E.
E is either just there or missing Sloane.
My Sloane storyline for E is, so Vince decides whether he's getting a movie and E has to pick up some groceries for Sloane, is unsure that's whether they're dating or not.
And that's a season-long plot.
Yeah.
That's mine is the end of the Blair Witch Project. There's someone just staring in the corner at the wall. That's how I'm writing, directing an E the whole time. It's like E's in the corner looking at the wall. Turtle puts their lives at risk when driving on the wrong side of the road. And that's classic Turtle. I can see that happening. Calms himself when he pulls a young mum from a trip to movie world. This is like, I'm starting to wonder why this landed in our hands and not, you know, HBO Films hands. This actually sounds... And Ari gets angry at the Queensland heat and yells at Lloyd. He turns up looking camp in a sleeveless Crocodile Dundee outfit with matching shirt shorts. And this is actually like...
Thanks, DD Slasher.
Yeah, that's
like,
amazing.
That's so spot on. I'm going to get behind that Kickstarter.
Can Johnny Drama get trapped in the Batman ride at movie world?
And has to become the Batman?
Yeah.
And he rescues like four people. I think that's great.
You should save all these ideas for the review that we're going to force you to leave on our iTunes.
I can't wait. Yeah,
anyone can do it. We recommend you do so. Please leave a review of your Entourage episode.
Yeah.
Pitch us your Entourage pitch. On our iTunes page.
And trust me, they can't be as bad as the one we're watching in silence now. That's always the best part about it. Also,
I think Sloane's about to do the movie.
Yeah. Sloane's like, and he's like, what? And she's like,
baby bro.
Can you make sure you put the lid on that water bottle you're drinking? And he's like, Sloane, I love you. And she's
I got to call the boys before I do something a big movie.
Based
like
on
this.
Her like indistinguishable race and the weird outfit she's wearing, like she would actually pass for an alien on the like 60s Star Trek.
Yes.
Like, and the hair, it's just like, that's
and
just not
Sloane
trash,
kind of sounds like an alien race in the Star Trek universe.
And how come E's hair is sometimes pitch black and borderline red and sometimes blonde? Like, what have you got to hide?
We'll leave that incredible question. That's the end of our Entourage talk for this episode of AFM. We haven't got much time left.
Let's speak about Archie quickly.
Yeah, Archie is a long-running, and also is my son, but it's a very, very long-running comic from the States about a boy from Riverdale called Archie who...
Managed poorly the last few years?
I mean, you could argue that it just managed the same way it's been managed since it started.
Oh, no, have you read the scandals about... The lady who was in charge of, like, the CEO of Archie for the last few years.
I want to hear all about him once I tell people that already know the basic synopsis of Archie, what the basic synopsis of Archie is.
All right, get the basic synopsis out.
He is a very wholesome teenager at a high school and has to choose between Betty, who is the girl next door, or Veronica, who is the rich lady from out of town.
And who's his best friend?
Jughead Jones.
And that's all you need to know. But
Jughead Jones, is that his last name? His last name is Head. His first name is Jug.
Archie, and who is the Jughead here?
I don't know.
I mean,
your son's Archie.
Yeah, so my son's Archie. So that makes
Jughead?
Us.
That's your Jughead, and I think I'm Betty.
No, I'm Archie's dad. Clearly,
you're Archie's dad, Mr.
Mitchell,
Riverdale,
Mitchell.
And you can be your pops from Pops.
Yeah, I'll be Pops. I run the local, the joint the kids hang out at, right?
Yep.
That makes you Betty or Veronica.
Okay. I haven't really
you're,
read it. I'm
you're
sorry.
Sloan.
I'm Sloan.
You're
yeah.
Sloan. Who's the I've Rob? Am I still the Rock? Am I Rob Cordero?
But, so apparently Archie has been really badly managed as a comic franchise over the last few years.
I went in to pick up issue one of Archie from my local comic book store.
Which
store is
that? We
should support the little guys. Well, it's up to you. You know, this is a worldwide. Just support the little guys. And walked in there and they were like, oh, did you hear about the Archie stuff? And I'm like, what? And I'm like, yeah, the woman who was running it was apparently insane and somehow got the rights, perhaps inherited them family-based, but was basically showing up to meetings, board meetings every week, putting her feet up on the desk, lighting a cigarette and being like, I own the fuck out of all of you, leave. And that they just made poor decision after poor decision. This was like 15 years long. Her husband was hired as head of creative, like it was quite corrupt and stuff. And then they've made this break recently where someone else has gotten the rights and like, we're rebooting it. We're doing it clean. We're doing the service that Archie's been needing for the last good 10 years or something. Mm. But apparently there's this like really weird underbelly side to it, which Archie I probably should have researched before I said that's probably all incorrect. But I just remember the cigarette smoking and the kind of dodgy hiring of a husband.
Right. Well, I mean, in the last few years, about 2 years ago, they released a comic called Afterlife with Archie, which is like a horror movie set in the Archie universe, which has been really, really fun.
And Archie vs. Predator.
Archie vs. Predator is happening right now. I mean, Archie has done weird crossovers with lots of different comics over the years. There was a great Archie vs. Punisher.
That's right.
Comic in the 70s.
And it's just owned by Archie Comics now. They were like IDW and stuff, weren't they? They were...
I don't know.
A bunch of them were
I don't want to commit to an answer without researching like you do.
No,
you
I do. Fucking amateur. I don't care. Come at me, lawyers.
But Archie has always been a very, very wholesome teenager. They were up to, I don't know, like 700 or something issues.
I think it was 75 years straight of Archie.
And they finally relaunched with a new number one written by one of my favorite writers and one of my favorite artists, Mark Waid on writing. Mark Waid is done.
Where do we know Mark Waid from?
The most recent series of Daredevil. He wrote, which was very good. He's written...
AKA Daredevil goes to San Francisco.
That's true. And becomes a legit lawyer with a cool red suit.
Oh, yeah.
He's also written... like
you wrote Princess Leia recently, five-part series.
And he's written
sick.
An incredible run on The Flash.
Yeah.
Lots of Justice League comics. He followed Grant Morrison on the
he's
JLA
a bull.
Run.
He's a bullet.
He's one of the bullets. DC's The Rock.
Yeah, he's The Rock and the bullet. Yeah.
And Fiona Staples, you would know Saga. As the artist from Saga. So it's a really, really cool, fun new take on Archie that's effortlessly modern, but doesn't abandon the wholesomeness
of
the character.
I mean, Jughead's his hilarious crown, and that's fine. It's unexplained, and that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Jen, we made you read it.
Yeah.
And have you ever read an Archie comic before?
I'm pretty sure I got some in a show bag once.
Yes. That's how you know Archie. It was always kind of like...
It's just always like a comic that's just
Archie
always
Digest
there.
Digest.
You go to the local newsagent in like any rural New South Wales town.
And there'll
be
a tiny thing
like a Phantom comic or an Archie Digest.
Yeah, well, see, I had a lot of Phantom comics because my dad and his brothers would always read them. So
amazing.
We had like a big pile of Phantom comics at home. And then, yeah. I'm not really familiar with Archie. I really wanted to. Any kind of... Growing up, I just wanted to read comics, but then I'd buy one and I'd be like, I hate this.
This is the first Archie comic I read.
That's because every Phantom comic sucks.
Yeah.
This is the first Archie comic I read.
Yeah.
Totally.
Right.
And it just... I got... And without discounting either of them, it was... I got massive Scott Pilgrim vibes, which I thought was great. I mean, he's sitting in a high school, skewing younger than Scott Pilgrim, obviously, which was like...
But Mark Waid is old as fuck.
Yeah,
writer.
But it tapped into it so well. Language was right. Everything was correct. Perfect high school setting. Good cast of characters. I know it's very multicultural cast.
That is the Archieverse character. He hasn't made up. None of those characters are new. They all existed.
They bring him to the forefront now.
They've all always been in the forefront.
That was really cool. I was like, that was great. And music was involved, which I know just from seeing them on television or reading the odd comic here, the music's like the Archies, I mean, for example.
Did Angus make you read it, or you just saw the
No.
Comic?
No, right. I just had to flip through.
But it looks sweet. And so, like the dad characters, that like the family-based things there. I was like, oh, that looks really fun. And it's just like, it was really cool. And I'm like, can't wait to get the next one.
We have one of my really good friends is a huge Archie fan, Siobhan Coombs. And we're going to get her in next week to talk. We have a very, very comics-focused episode next week. We're going to talk through a lot of Archie stuff. We're going to talk through a lot of Geoff Johns doing Batman and talk through some of his best runs and when he started to get shit.
I wanted to school me. Do you think someone like, well, maybe we can ask this, is someone graduate from a comic writer to screenwriter? I mean, is that his, you know?
Yeah, we can talk about that too. We can also talk about Ant-Man, which is the next Marvel.
Yeah, we're going to go see that. We've got to go see it separately though. That's something we can never do now, is go to films together.
We can maybe, I mean, it could we be have to you, say that you, for... you, me and my wife.
My wife, yeah. I was so upset you didn't come to the Entourage premiere with me and Koshy. That was really sad.
Did you go to the Entourage premiere?
No,
again?
I really, really, really wanted to. It was great. Everyone in the office got tickets except me. I was devastated. But I want to put on my own. Yeah, total power play. But I really want to put on my own screening of it. Like,
I would love you to do that. I want you to give a director's commentary during it as well, yes, on the first viewing. And but just be like, on this scene I was thinking,
I would also like
Total is hot and like Lloyd is so hilarious. And
I actually said we weren't allowed to talk about Entourage again this episode.
We break so many rules.
So we have to end the episode now. That's the rules.
Wow.
Jen, if we want to find you online or elsewhere, where can we go?
You can find me online, Jen Fricker, with a G, on the Twitter and the Instagram and the Facebook.
You can
good reserve.
And if you're like a 30-something-year-old man from rural Australia, feel free to leave a creepy comment on one of Jen's photos.
Oh yeah, have you noticed that? Yeah. Holy shit!
Really?
People with neck tattoos really like me.
Really? Congratulations! has the Joker left a comment?
Terrifying.
On
my Instagram is so.
Wow, you should publish those as reviews.
Oh man, so I filled in on Triple J Breakfast for 2 weeks, and it was super super fun. And it's like,
yeah, you
cool.
were great. You killed it.
My Instagram.
I didn't listen. I was asleep.
Oh, that's totally fine. You're a dad, and also an international DJ.
Sure. I was there.
But yeah, and Angus is a true fan. He's true fam. So
true fam. Followed you from day one. I was like, I'm tuning in every morning.
But my Instagram is unrecognizable from like the in jokes of my social group maybe a month ago to now, just a lot of dudes. A lot of dudes.
How did you find that?
How do I find it?
Flattering the
It's never flattering. No, I know it's flattering. I know it's meant to be flattering. I appreciate the positive sentiment, but
also
on
keep
such
your thoughts
a
to yourself.
Scale, on such a scale, it's the way I describe it is when you move a microwave and cockroaches come out.
Yes, that's beautiful. Yeah, wow.
That's being a woman.
It's
on
so
the internet.
Awful. I mean, I don't understand. Like, there needs to be like a when you sign up for Facebook or Instagram, like a thing you have, terms and condition you have to read, where it's like if you follow a girl you find attractive, like keep it to yourself.
But just also like, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
Like, what does that achieve by being like, I would on all of my photos?
Also, just like, just a beacon for like, avoid me for future.
Do you ever, have you ever responded?
No, not really.
That's professional.
A lot of people inbox me on Facebook and I don't respond and really? They get really mad.
But now you're not going to get that cool tick that you get on the,
I know.
You seen it? Yeah, it's like
my
this page
time.
Response is very well.
Yeah,
that's public.
I don't want to go. Yeah, I don't want to go.
I'm glad for my 0% rating.
You should just change your profile picture to just the word red, but never and not, like,
yes,
then never reply.
Yeah, that's exactly. Can people see when a page has red?
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
no,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder everyone's getting so
Who have
so
you been
mad.
Messaging?
Yeah.
What's that?
Who have you been messaging to come across that piece of...
Oh, no, I just assume they can. I think you can.
Yeah, no, you can. Actually, I did get a good one for Plucker Duck memes the other day.
Angus is the admin for the best,
it's
best
so
page.
It's so
But we go on the other day and someone asked me to remove a photo. It was a woman in her 40s. I was like, if you're following Facebook pages for
she
gone 90s family...
She thought that a meme that called Daryl Summers a cunt was offensive.
I was like,
why.
Honey, if that's the first of your worries, we're going to have...
sent me this screenshot, I couldn't see the name. And I was like, oh my God, did Daryl Summers...
I thought it was too. My names? Heart skipped a beat, but no, it's just some bored person who like managed to like jump through the three hoops it takes to send a page. Like, this is an offensive thing.
A Daryl head.
Jenny,
yeah, it was a real D-head.
Are you doing more Triple J stuff from now on? Or?
Yeah, I'm doing Weekend Breakfast
You graduated from the graveyard shift.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I tried to do that a few years ago.
Fell asleep on the
job.
Tell
me about your shift where you fell asleep.
I think that's legendary now.
Yeah,
that's
that is that. Yeah. They tell you that one and they tell you the one where Shantan gives out his the
personal,
wrong station number.
Yeah, the FBI
classic,
one. The
classic
FBI,
Shantan. Yeah. Do you ever answer the phone? Because when you're at Triple J, there is a phone there, and the number for that phone isn't public, but people know it. And yeah. occasionally, like at like 4 a.m.,
really?
it'll call and it'll just be
people
like, Rusty, who's like a miner from Menindee. And yeah.
Shout outs to Rusty, yeah, if you're listening. And, like, and you are. And thanks for your entourage review.
They don't make music like that they used to, do they? You're like, oh.
No, Rusty, that's right. Let's put you to wear and let's talk about this.
But yeah, and they just want to talk to somebody. Did you ever answer that phone?
Yeah, I didn't for the first 3 months of being on Midons. Again, as a woman. Just being like, I don't want to invite this into my life. But yeah, I answer the phone. I always just get dudes who are like, hey, put me on the internet, put me on the radio. And I'm like, oh, what do you want to talk about, man? He's like,
pussies.
Yeah, exactly. And nice then they'll guys. Be like, hey, and try and chat. And then the out that I've learned is being like, hello.
That's hello? Great.
Hello. And then just hang up.
You heard it here first, guys. If you want to get out of a shitty phone conversation.
Just pretend that their reception is terrible and hang up.
That's how I'm going to start ending podcasts.
Yeah. Hello? Yeah.
Hello?
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 Hello? Hello? I don't think anyone's there. Hello?
Just kidding.
Hey!
If you want to find Hey Fam online, we are facebook.com/HeyFamPodcast. Or please send us an email.
HeyFamPodcast@gmail.com, which we still haven't got any. So
yeah.
If you hate us, if you're a Daryl Summers head who doesn't really like what I've done to Daryl's good name. Or if you're Daryl Summers himself, let's do this in public, buddy. Love to have you on the show. Let's talk. Let's dance.
I would love to have Daryl Summers on this
show.
Dude,
if we get Daryl on the show, let's dance.
And be like, hey, Daryl, what do you think of the latest episode of Ballers?
Oh, I guarantee you he's like an EP on Ballers. It doesn't know that a career trajectory on Ballers is very similar to one of that of a variety show host on Channel 9 in Melbourne.
Thanks so much to Jen Fricker for coming in.
Thanks for being our first guest.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. I hope you liked. Yes, thank you.
Fuck!
I'll ask you that.
Angus, this is the first time Angus has ever met a girl.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
No, yeah, it's true. Thank you.
I like how you bow to me.
Yeah, it's very, it's very.
I just realized that, and I'm also a slight little mention, even though he deserves a much bigger mention. We are mourning this week the passing of a video game legend. Satoru Iwata.
He was the president of Nintendo Japan since 2000 onwards, and he worked at HAL Laboratories. He had a huge hand in Kirby's Dream Land, Earthbound games, huge amount of games, and he was
Balloon Fight.
He was massive. Crossing. I mean, he was the type of guy that when Nintendo recently was taking a bit of a slog, he halved his salary just to make things right.
And was like the face of the failure.
He was like a Steve
really
Jobs.
He was like, you know, I'm really sorry to the investors for not doing it right.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I worry like he had a
very traditional way of doing things. I think which
definitely. And he was the face of kind of introducing Nintendo
Connects.
To you. Like what all of Nintendo's recent games were. So it really, when finding out that he had died earlier in the week,
it was huge.
Yeah,
it was really, like hearing really a Walt Disney upsetting. Or a Steve Jobs, but also, yeah, it was really sad.
Angus and I are two Nintendo bros, and I'm sure
we'll probably spend another episode speaking about that once we let the dust settle on
Iwata.
I mean, they're still up in the air. I mean, they still need a president. I mean, investors are probably really freaking out now as well. They're like, ooh.
But the challenge to you this week is to play one of his games.
Play one of his games.
Who cares about what happens? Who cares about who the Arkham Knight is?
Who cares?
Who cares,
for one
man?
Week, just don't worry about who the Arkham Knight or the Witcher
you can,
3 is.
Exactly. The
Listen,
witch,
play
Julian Assange
game.
Can kill 3 witches next week.
But just take some time out, play a classic Iwata game, or even listen to what he used to... Listen to some of the soundtrack to the Earthbound games, which I think were...
He worked in the soundtrack for
Earthbound. Yeah, and he was a coder. Yeah. He was everything. He was kind of like, you know... He did it all.
That's the Hey Fam challenge.
Yeah.
Pay tribute to a great man by playing.
If you can work
a
Iwata,
great game.
And then write in your Hey Fam journal for the day, like the MSN MS readathon.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, if you can work any Iwata, this is a project I'm sending you guys. If you haven't left a Entourage pitch yet, make sure Vince gets a role from one of any Iwata created games.
Oh, that is a huge challenge. And I can think of no better way to pay tribute to
I think
great
there's
man.
No better way to pay tribute than iTunes review, which lasts forever. I'm like, all of us here, and Iwata's proved
we're
that.
All just dust.
We're all just dust, except an iTunes review. So if you can work, Vince gets a role of Balloon Fight, turns it into, like, I don't know, a Bruce Willis-esque, Michael Bay directed
he would
action
be a,
thriller.
Vinny could be a great Kid Icarus.
I think he'd be a good Luigi, personally. No, he'd drama's be Mario
totally
to
Luigi,
the drama's
yeah.
Luigi. But then again, I digress. We keep talking about Entourage.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening to Hey Fam. Thanks again to Jen Fricker.
Thanks so much for being our first guest.
And thanks to Channing Tatum.
Tating. Tating. No, that's what that's, you know.
Tating.
In the future, he becomes Tating.
Tating. Tating Chatham.
Tanning Chatham. That's the type of world I want to live in. We're all tan.
You want to live in a lot of worlds.
Yeah.
That's like your catchphrase.
It is. That's what a believer like me does.
Anyway, look, Perry Farrell and Jane's Addiction have just got here. Play us out, guys.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.